And so there was some confusion as to where I was moving to. But at this point, we are moving in town. And there's a whole reason for that, and I'll get into that next Sunday. And speaking of next Sunday, the 19th, I want to encourage you to either be in the building. If you can't be, go online and watch it live. Or if that just isn't going to work, then make sure early in the week you go onto our webpage and pull up the service and listen to it then. I just have some things I need to share with everybody about this season we're in, and you know what's happening in our lives, and just everything that's been occurring. It's just some God stuff I need to share with you. So please don't miss that, and take pains to do that. Next Sunday, you may have heard earlier in the summer that there was possibly a lunch. Next Sunday, there's not a lunch. There'll be snacks, but we postponed that just a little bit longer. And I want to say in this challenging time we all face, you know, there's a lot of debate, isn't there? And I want to address that a little bit next week. But, you know, masks, no masks, vaccine passports, it's a different world we're living in right now. And for the church, it's challenging times, just like it is for everybody. So I want to address that a little bit next week, talk about it. But in the meantime, can I ask you a big favor? One thing that has not changed is that God wants his people to stay united and to respect and honor each other. Regardless of our opinions, God has still not changed. So if you want to know what to do or not to do, follow what he wants, and you will be okay. So just Colossians 3, 12, 13a. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Isn't that exciting? God knows what he's talking about. And I just want to say, you know, if somebody come, you come into the room and somebody's wearing a mask, they probably don't want you to smother them. I know that, Jason, if I can just say, you all that are not new here and not visiting today will know that Jason's son, you know, before he was 1 year old, had a heart transplant. His immunity system is compromised. And so Jason comes onto the stage here until he sings, and last week did use it, but wears a mask. And so we're just trying to watch out for Logan. And so that's called honoring our brother in Christ and his family. It's as simple as that. There's no conspiracy to it. It's just we want to honor Jason. So that's just an example. And I just want to mention also to parents, sorry to ramble at the beginning, to parents, there is no Sunday school today, but our Sunday school will begin next Sunday, and Pastor Tiffany is going to be working with our kids this early fall season. And if you're interested in teaching and helping her, please get a hold of us right away. Enough stuff. We're here to honor God and to sing praise and to lift up his name. We're excited. Pastor, missionary Kevin Garrett is here. And we've been supporting him as a church family for a lot of years through the you know, imprisoned times and the freedom times. And so excited he would take the time out to come up, fly up, and be with us this morning. So please make him feel welcome after. And let's all stand together if you're able to, and let's just pray. And bless the Lord together. So God, thank you for your presence in our life. It never changes. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are the consistent one. You're the one of hope. And God, we trust you today. And God, for all that you have done in our lives and all that you will do, today we want to sing praise to you. We want to offer words of praise, and God, we want to honor you by being attentive to what you're doing in the rest of the world, and we want to hear your word and challenge us, God. So we open up our hearts to you, and God, thank you for every person in this place today and every person online. God, bless them abundantly. For those that are visiting this morning, God, would you honor them, and would you just fill their lives, God, with good things today. So we bless them, and we thank you, God, for all things. And we offer our praise now in the name of the one, the only Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is a pastor and a shepherd who's called by you to a people, God. I just ask from the bottom of my heart today that those who can relate to those songs, who, God, maybe this season of life have a mountain, or God, maybe there's something, this burden on their heart, God, and in their life. And God, who doesn't need a little bit of knowledge and wisdom in this season? So God, I ask you to give liberally to your people today. God, would you lift the burdens in Jesus' name? Would you speak a word of knowledge, of wisdom, of discernment, God, in your name? And God, would you show, God, the hope that is over the mountain, and God, the brightness of the new day ahead. Oh, Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Would you fill us afresh? Fill us anew. Oh, strengthen us, revive us, rekindle the passion in us, oh God. Oh, and let the Holy Spirit flow powerfully through us. And God, I speak joy and peace in your people. Oh, God, and it's all for your glory. Be praised, God. Show off through your people, God. Oh, we give you honor and glory. Oh, isn't Jesus amazing, people? Wow. You know, we sung a little line there in that last song and about God's love for me or for you. I don't know that we'll ever really, really, really get how much God loves us individually until we see him face to face. I mean, we grasp it a bit here and there and grow in it, but I don't think we really capture the fullness of that. But we will when our eyes see the one who we just persevere for. Amen? Amen. Wow, it's awesome. Well, Kevin, God has done some great things through your life, and he's sure shown his love to you guys. And I guess we get the benefit from what God's been doing in your life. So, well, Lord, bless you.
I'm glad I can benefit you. Well, it's good to be here this morning. You can hear me, right? Okay, if you can hear me, you got to say amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to lift this up. No, I'm not going to lift this up. I might lift this up. You know, it's been 3 years since Julie and I were here, but certainly glad to be back and glad to be here in Prince George. Kind of hard to believe it's been 3 years. I mean, it looks like you've been through a pandemic or something to me, but I don't know. Is it true? Is that why the chairs are so far back? Okay, so we're safe, right? It's more than 6 feet. It's all right. And I just want to, before I go on, we're going to speak about 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9 today. I'm going to share a little bit what we've been doing, what we've been up to. And I want to say before I forget, because I probably will forget, we're going back to Asia in January. You can pray for that. Last time I was here, we didn't have a book, but now we have a book about our, you know the story, right? And we'll go over that in a second. It's in the foyer. If you want to hear about our ministry and what we're doing, you sign up for those updates. We send them about every 2 months, and there's some paper copies out there too. Please feel free to pick those up. But let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 to 9 to you, and it'll be on the screen behind you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power. And what that all-surpassing power means, this miraculous strength that extends our reach beyond what is humanly possible. That's the power that resides in us. It's from God, not from us. Resides, but it's not ours, it's God. We are hard-pressed on every side. but not crushed. Perplexed? Yeah, at times. But not in despair. Abandoned, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That applies to every single one of us here today. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I would say one of those songs we sang earlier says, Jesus is the answer. Okay? Doesn't matter the problem. And you learn this if you're in Sunday school. The answer is always Jesus, right? Okay? Always the answer. It says Jesus is the way. He is the only way. Doesn't matter what you hear around. The government is not the answer. Jesus is always the answer. Just a short time ago, Julie and I returned from Asia. As you may know, now we're working in Myanmar. There's a little problem. We can't go back to China. So we're in Myanmar now, working with vulnerable communities. Really, right now, people are desperate, fleeing the Burmese military. Okay? We had an incredible and miraculous trip there. And thank you for your prayers. And thank you also for your prayers, and you mentioned this, Rich, over those years, a couple years in prison, but also as we continue. Because we thrive and survive on your prayers. It's true. You know, when we pray, God will move, and he always does. And just to recap, for some of you who don't know us, or this is the first time you're hearing this, you might be newer, or maybe you just forgot. Like, who is this guy up here? Okay. We spent from 1984 to 2014 in China as missionaries. We now have 4 children, and 3 are married. So it's 3 down, 1 to go. We have 3 grandchildren. The one who's not married has a dog, so that's kind of close, I guess, but I don't know. And we have our 4th grandchild on the way. And 3 of the grandchildren, unfortunately, are in Australia, and for one of them, it's her birthday today. So that's pretty neat. She's 15. Yeah, she's the oldest. And for our next grandchild, he's going to be born, well, the plan is he'll be born on November 25th, which is American Thanksgiving. So turkey and a baby, it's great, I think. And but we were abducted in 2014, so 30 years in China. Then we were abducted, not arrested. There's the difference, right? Spent 775 days in a Chinese prison, and our book, as I mentioned, is out in the foyer. I was convicted and deported in 2016, and actually it'll be 5 years on the 15th, which is pretty soon. Today's the 12th? Yeah, Wednesday. It'll be 5 years since I was deported. Convicted and deported. So you're actually speaking to listening to a convicted spy, just so you know. Okay? And it's a test, you know, our story is God's story. It's God's testimony of him always at work and always present. And it's his miraculous power that was at work in us that extends far beyond our ability to endure, to do anything, because God was in that. You've heard of the 2 Michaels who are in prison in China now. Okay? They've now, as of today, they've been 1,008 days in prison in China. The same situation, unfairly, unjustly detained, and just, it's all politics, right? It's all a political situation. But since 2018, God called us to Myanmar. Never thought that would be where we would be. Myanmar was never on our radar. It was never a thought. But God in 2018, I won't go into all the details, but he just directed us there. And at first I thought, well, this will be easier, right? You know, easier than China or North Korea, where we were working as well. And it seemed so when we first got there. It seemed, well, this is easier. And little did we know that things would change. And now it's not as easy as we thought. But God connected us in those first couple of years to strategic partners in Myanmar. And you'll see a map in a second, and it shows you the areas where we're working. And it's just amazing what God is doing in that place. We develop what we call life hubs. And that just means a place where life happens, where people are discipled, community is built up, we create sustainable businesses, or we help people like through a coffee collective in different ways to live and breathe Jesus and also make a living. So these national partners we are working so well with, loved it. And then COVID hit as it came here, right? It hit in Myanmar as well. So the borders closed. And then this year, February 1st, they had a military coup. Everything closed. All the unofficial borders and the official borders tightly closed. So we had to switch to emergency aid because people were starving and still are. You know, here in Canada, we're in the midst of recovery. We can see not everyone is wearing masks. Things are good. We're back to meeting again. We're not just online. And online is okay, but in person is so, so much better, right? That's how the body needs to be. But for a time, God had us online, and that's okay too, right? We also have a functioning medical system here. Did you know that? In Canada, we have an incredible, you might not believe so, but we have an incredibly good medical system here. Myanmar has no functioning medical system. Yeah, we might have another wave of COVID or something. That's all right. But we can meet here today, and that's a huge improvement. You know, Myanmar is what I now call a creative access nation. Means it's just not so easy anymore. Okay? With borders closed and everything else that's going on, hundreds of thousands have fled not only the cities but villages. They're hiding in the jungles because of the military. There's bombings, there's shootings, random killings. There's thousands have been killed. You know, there's an unofficial tally. The government will never say how many are killed. There's at least a 250,000 people who are hiding along the border with Thailand. Okay? Let me, if you don't know Myanmar, don't know Burma, let me give you the 30-second history lesson, okay? 1948, it became a nation, separated from Britain as a colony. The military took over in the 60s, so they had a success of military coups and rulers since the 60s. They have 135 ethnic groups, okay? 111 languages. And we have trouble with one or two, I guess, but primarily a Buddhist nation, right? Okay. Christians make up maybe 7%, mostly in the ethnic groups, mostly along the remote areas and the tribal areas along the borders. Okay. There's been attempts at democracy in the 80s and 90s. You may have heard of Aung San Suu Kyi, okay, Nobel Peace Prize winner. Election in 2011, she won. Okay, her party won. They had an election last year in November 2020. And the military, who was always in the background, lost by a landslide. They guaranteed themselves 25% of the seats. So it's like, yeah, no problem, we'll win. They lost by 83%. How does that work? I don't know. But so what they decided is they don't like this thing called democracy anymore, and that's why there was a coup. So they thought a quick military, you know, takeover, we'll be back to, quote, normal in a couple days. 8 months later, it's not back to normal. And there's an uprising that's growing more and more. It's a failed coup, not quite a failed state. And I want you to watch this very short video. It's about 3 minutes long. It's from one of our partners. He lives in Thailand, right on the border. He's from Burma. He's a Burmese pastor. And he runs a children's home. Just take a look at this, and I'll tell you more in a second. So this is Dan Chin. We work with him. All of you have children. Some of you have children. So he has 89 children. Not all his, of course, right? But he takes care. He just says, like, as we went 1 week, this is filmed in July when we were there in Asia, and we went 1 week, and he said, oh, we have 87 children. We went again to see him the next week, so we have 89 now. I said, how does that happen? He says, I just can't say no. When children are brought to him, and most of these are stateless children, means they fled what's going on, the war that's going on in Myanmar, and he says, I have to take them in. I can't say no. He relies totally on, you know, the gifts of others to care for these 89 children, to run everything. So we supply them with soy milk every week for the kids a couple times a week. That's one thing we can do. And he's not afraid to ask if there's a need, but he says, no, the soy milk is wonderful. And we also were able to teach in that a bunch of the children there in that place, because the children range from kind of 2 or 3 years old up to 21, something like that. And so we said, could we teach them about the Holy Spirit? And so he said, of course. And so we were able to take a morning and with about 30 of the kids, the older kids, and just teach about the Holy Spirit. And afterwards he said, thank you so much. He says, I can't meet all the needs of these children, but I thank you for telling them the Holy Spirit can. And that was amazing. And this is just one of the Burmese migrant schools and migrant children's homes that we help. We help about five right now. When you think about Myanmar right now, think about war going on, think about people fearing for their lives, hiding in the jungles. How do you go forward from that? Or how do you go forward from COVID and the devastating effects that has, right? The devastating effects of a war, a civil war in Myanmar, the death, the destruction, the instability, the lack of basic services, fear. How do you go forward from that? How do we go forward today here in Prince George from COVID or other things, other life-altering things that affect our lives? Because we all have things that affect our lives. But how do we go forward from that? How do we go forward from prison, 2 years in prison in China? Okay. To me, the verse from 2 Corinthians 4, 7 is the key. But we have this treasure. And this treasure is Jesus in this jar of clay. Yes, because we're just like jars of clay. We break, we crack. We're not always together, right? But we have this all-surpassing power in us, right? That's how we go on. Because that power, this miraculous strength that extends our reach beyond what is humanly possible, okay? Our strength to stay in that prison for 2 years, to survive through that prison 2 years, is because of that surpassing power in us and because of your prayers. You know, we're ordinary people. Like Paul, like you, we're just ordinary. But we all have that surpassing power in us. Okay? It's not limited to a few. It's open to all. The Holy Spirit is open to all. Right? In Acts 14, we see this all-surpassing power at work. Paul and Barnabas in this one story from Acts 14. And we're going to look at this for a few minutes. Okay? It says they went out to share the good news with people. So verse 1, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went out as usual. I like that. As usual, they went out. Okay? They went and did it usually to the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Did they speak effectively because of their own strength? Absolutely not. They spoke effectively because that surpassing, all-surpassing power in them. And it's tremendous that so many believe. Tremendous. But keep reminding yourself that same power is in you too. Okay? Verse 3 goes on, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. Okay? They went out as usual, and God allowed them to perform signs and wonders. Okay? Healing and everything else that went on. And again, remember, it's not because of their great skill. It's not because they were some of the first disciples. It's because of that all-surpassing power that is the same in us today. The story gets more interesting as we go down in chapter 14. We get down to verse 8. Okay? And it's really getting quite interesting because they've had to flee to Lystra and Derbe because of the plot against their lives. So there's some people stirred up trouble. They had to flee. They got away. It's probably a good idea if you hear about someone trying to kill you, you should probably move on, right? It's probably a good idea. So they escaped this persecution. They escaped basically death. And verse 8 to 10 says, so they're now in Lystra and Derbe. There sat a man who was lame. Okay? It means he couldn't walk, right? Okay? He had been that way from birth. Okay? Sometimes there are people like that. They're lame from birth. He had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him. And we know the story, right? You know the story. Okay? Saw that he had faith to be healed and called him out. Stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Think about that for a minute. Lame from birth. He's a man, not a boy. He's been that way for many years. Okay? And because of that all-surpassing power in them, They saw faith in him and they called it out and they said, rise up and walk. And he did. I want you to remember, this is just not a story 2,000 years ago. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what? Dwells in you. That all-surpassing power dwells in you. I'm just amazed. Like, Paul, he had this, made use of this power. He wasn't, I'm guessing this guy, probably brought out every day to beg, because that's what was normal in those days, and we see examples in the Bible. Been there for years, never expected anything, except one day, Paul comes along and says, rise up and walk. Okay? And then the story gets more interesting. We're going to jump down to verse 19. Now they're still in Lystra. Okay? Then some Jews came from Antioch. That's where they had fled from the persecution, in Iconium, and won the crowd over. How'd they win them over? They stirred up the crowd against Paul and Barnabas. They stoned Paul. And dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. I like that part. Thinking he was dead. Okay? Now, I would think he was dead. Have you ever been stoned? I don't mean that kind. I mean the other kind. Okay? So, I would think he would be dead. Okay? Now, stoning means not throwing little pebbles at someone, as someone did to Prime Minister Trudeau, unfortunately, the other day. Okay? It means pelting a person with rocks that you can hold in your hand until they're dead. That's what stoning is. It's execution by mob. It's meant to be you're dead because of it, right? How do you go forward from being stoned like that? Stoned to death. How do you go forward from these life-altering situations? Verse 20 goes on, says, but after the disciples get gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Now that's, think about that. He's dead, okay? Everyone thought he was dead. The disciples probably thought he was dead. But they stand around and what did they do? Oh, how are we going to take this body back into town, you know? Did they pray? We're not told. I'm guessing they did. Okay? They gather around him. He gets up. Why? Because of this all-surpassing power was at work in him. I tend to believe he was raised from the dead. Did he have any lasting effects, some bruises, some bleeding? Probably. But he got up and went back into the city. And that's amazing. He just gets back up and goes in back into the city. The exact same place where they took him from to stone him. He goes back into it. It's like, oh, they stoned me. I'm going back. Like, I'm going back for more. Think about it. Wouldn't you run to the hills? No, he goes back. Okay? I don't know what they did. Did they do a little victory dance when he got up? I think they probably said what the angel said in Matthew 2:10. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I think they were pretty happy. Yes, God, you raised him from the dead, right? Maybe they had a big party. Maybe they had a big feast. I don't know. They might have. It would be the after stoning party. I don't know if there is such a thing, but that makes sense to me. Okay? I've never been to one of those, but I don't know. Anyone who goes through suffering, COVID, coup, fire, illness, car accident, or any life-altering things, you know, it takes time to recover. For some reason, not for Paul. I don't know why. You would think he had PTSD or something, which stands for, I had to look this up, post-traumatic stress disorder. But I actually think he had PTRD, post-traumatic rock disorder. I don't know. Maybe he wanted a vacation. Okay, maybe, I don't know. You'd think he'd want to step back for a little bit and say, I'm just going to take a break, you know, those rocks hurt. But he didn't. Because it says, we go on to verse 21, it says, the next day he and Barnabas left for Derbe, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. He didn't take a vacation. The very next day. He jumped right back into the ring. What did the beginning of that verse in 2 Corinthians say? Okay. Struck down, but what? Not destroyed. Okay. Struck down, but not destroyed. We have this all-surpassing power in these frail jars, clay jars. But it's not just surpassing power. It's all-surpassing. It means it overcomes everything. I'm not saying we don't need to take a vacation. I'm, you know, glad we can do that once in a while. We can take a little break, a day, a half a day, a week or two, whatever. That's okay. But just remember, we have this all-surpassing power in us, okay? I want to tell you a story about one of our partners in northern Myanmar. We call him Ho. That's not his name. We just don't say his name because we want to protect him. He's really a pastor of pastors. He oversees 20-some-odd churches. We've worked with him for the last 3 years. We were just in the process of setting up what we call a food security program with him. So it was going to be a training bakery, a coffee house, a bookstore. It was going to provide aid for some of the IDP camps that he works with. IDP means internally displaced people camps, because there are many of those, hundreds of thousands of those in Myanmar right now. It means they have been driven from their land, driven from their homes and farms, and they're living in these tiny little shacks, essentially. Okay? So we had prepared everything. We actually, because of the coup, we were actually able to purchase a whole training bakery, all the equipment, almost all brand new, and it's sitting waiting for us in Yangon and has to be shipped to the north. And basically, we bought it for 20 cents on the dollar. I mean, God is preparing, and he knows the timing. We wanted it yesterday. God says, no, I know the timing. I know the time it's supposed to be there. So he oversees these churches. He oversees these IDP camps, drug rehab centers, children's homes, not the one you saw. Okay? So we've had to switch with him to crisis aid because that's what's needed right now. So we're working with him to do that. Okay? He too is filled with this all-surpassing power. Okay? And when he immediately shifted gears to aid, doors began to open. The gospel has gone further than it was before. You see, through COVID and a coup, God opens doors, he doesn't shut them. Okay? We have to realize God is in this too. God is always, always at work, and he's always present, whether we see him or not. In prison, I didn't always see God at work, but he was in those times. You know, in northern Myanmar and in many parts of Myanmar, if you're helping people who have COVID, and there's many who do, you could be killed. The military doesn't like you helping the people. So Ho and his team, not only delivering food aid and rice and things that are necessary, but oxygen tanks that are needed, and the slide will come up in a second to show that we recently supplied them with 25 oxygen cylinders and an oxygen concentrator, so they could take these oxygen tanks to people who are desperately, who just can't breathe, to private clinics and to private homes. And you realize when they do that, this group of volunteers under the direction of our friend Ho, they take their lives into their hands. Okay? When they go to deliver these things, the military could say, you can't do that, and they could just randomly shoot them. And that's happened again and again. But they say, no, we must do this. What did Paul say? He got back up, went back into the city, and preached the gospel again. Right? Because he must. Our friend Ho says he must. I have to do this. That's what Jesus commanded us. Not because of his great strength or anything, but because of what? That all-surpassing power in him. That says, I must obey. He wrote to us just a week or so ago, and this is one his message to us. It says, still struggling, hoping to get over all COVID and political crisis. We are tired, Saya. Saya just means kind of teacher or friend. Exhausted, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Exhausted, but they keep going on. Paul was stoned, but he kept going on. When we're tired, God empowers us to keep going on. And I think that's the message, is that this all-surpassing power means nothing is impossible. Even post-stoning, you can go on. Another of our partners, So. We got Ho and So. We'll have Lo in a minute. Mm-hmm. He's our main man in the middle. If you remember the map from the beginning, the red star in the middle of the country. He's really a pastor evangelist. And he oversees our coffee collective because You got to have coffee, right? Okay. Do you agree? So this is their idea, to create a sustainable livelihood for a few hundred families, plant coffee, and sell the coffee beans. It's a great idea. Okay. So we have been supporting this project for a couple of years now. We're about to step into the next phase of it. So it means we're going to plant with another 100 families. Last year they had just a harvest of 250 kilograms. Not a lot. You know, we'd go through that in a week. Well, maybe not a week, but we're going to plant with another 100 families. And I said, what about the Civil War? What about the bombing? He says, oh, in that area, God kept it safe. It's very quiet there. So for whatever reason, in that particular area, God wants coffee to grow. So we're going to help him. And we're going to plant coffee. That's one of our projects for the fall. We're going to plant coffee. But we're not planting coffee for coffee's sake, you realize. We're planting coffee for the gospel and to give these people a sustainable livelihood. Okay? We don't want to just do handouts. We want to give them something in their hand. Teach them the fish, don't give them a fish, right? That's the whole idea. So some months ago, at the beginning of the coup, he called me up, and he doesn't call very often, and he says, I'm going into the jungle. Okay? And this means he's going to be with his people. Now, you have to realize he did not have to do this. He's a Burmese pastor, but he lives in Thailand. He's back and forth into Burma, into Myanmar quite often. He says, I'm going into the jungle because God told me to go. Okay? I want you to pray for 1,000 souls. Not one, not 10, not even 100. He says 1,000 souls. And I know him. I know his character. He says he won't come out until he sees 1,000 souls. So he's been hiding in the jungle. He's been going from refugee camp to refugee camp, preaching the gospel. Okay? When we were there in June and July, we tried to connect with him, sent him messages, nothing. Okay? No contact, didn't know how to reach him. Contrary to popular belief, you know, the jungle vines you see in the movies, they are not telephone lines. So I don't know how we were supposed to connect with him. So we're trying to connect. I call his wife, who's in Thailand. She says, I don't know. I haven't heard from him for a long time. Is he dead? We had no idea. Okay. So we waited till the last possible minute before we were to come back to Canada and sent him one last message, and he got it. He says, I'll meet you at this place at this time, on this day. We took the 4-hour drive to get there, hoping he would be there. And he was. He was there. He'd been in the jungle for 4 months, and I stopped to talk. We had dinner together. We spent the night there, and we talked to him again the next morning. He says, so tell me. You know, we talked about lots of things, but tell me about the 1,000 souls. He says, oh, yes, doing good. Pray for more now. Like, oh, okay. And I asked him, well, I hear about the bombings. They're bombing villages and bombing camps in the jungle. He says, oh, yes, bombs are dropping around us, but God's angels are bigger. Now, think about that. What would you do? They're dropping bombs at the corner there, but, oh, God's angels are bigger. It's okay. Amazing courage. He takes those verses that say, do not fear, to heart. Do not fear, but obey. Okay? Because he has that all-surpassing power at work in him, in those that frail clay jar, right? He doesn't have to be there. He could live in safety in Thailand, but he wants to be obedient to God and go in. He doesn't consult his peers and say, what do you think I should do? He doesn't assess the situation for his safety. He says, no, I must go. Because God's told me to go. He told us another story, and we knew that he had printed some booklets to take with him into the jungle. He printed booklets of the 800 promises of God that he found in the Bible. 800. And one day he was settled in this kind of shack. I mean, it's not camping as we know. It's not glamping at all. Okay? He went to sleep for the night, put his booklets on the floor that he was using to preach the gospel. He sent us a couple of videos of him preaching just in the jungle. And it's incredible. But he goes to sleep, wakes up the next morning, gathers his things, and he walks a few meters away, maybe to the door there, and all of a sudden the hut where he was explodes. It blows up. He looks back and says, oh, the promises of God are true. He's safe. And he goes on preaching. Just like Paul, he goes back into the city after being stoned, so goes back to preaching the gospel. No vacation, no spa day to recover. He just goes back on. You might be shaken up if the place where you were just staying overnight blew up, right? But no, he goes on. We're able to supply him with, you'll see them in the foyer, these little solar lights and these booklets that we printed for him, called Little Suns, and there's a slide of them coming up soon. And so we had done this a couple years ago with a few hundred of them, more as a test case. And he said, you know, those little suns, those little solar lights that you gave 2 years ago, that's what's keeping light in the jungle for those hundreds of people. So when we gave him 1,000 more, he just says that, and we printed these booklets for him to show the light of Jesus. He just says, that's giving them practical aid. It's giving them the light of Jesus too. We had a church in Germany who sponsored all of them, which is incredible. And he keeps making coffee too, or planting coffee. So we just had a picture from his wife just a week or so ago, and she's got a little bit left of the new harvest, and she's sorting the beans for testing. So, because we want to sell them in maybe coffee shops in Prince George one day, I don't know, we might. But because we want to give livelihood, but we want to give Jesus too, right? That's what's important. And so our friend, he's been giving other kinds of aid. We've been helping them with rice, and there's a few more slides on that. Rice and other things. So we keep doing that. For everything from clean water systems to these solar lights to tarps to medicines. We're able to do these things because he knows people have to eat, but he also knows they need Jesus. So he does both. I want to jump back to our text for a minute, okay? Acts 14:22. So we have Paul, Barnabas again. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Remember, that's where they were chased out of. Okay? Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. They said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Our friends in Myanmar know they must go through many hardships. We too in our lives go through hardships. But what does God say? He says, get back up and do it again. Okay. You've been bombed? Get back up and preach again. You've been stoned, left for dead? Get back up and preach again. Okay. I don't know what you've gone through, but I know this. John 14:18 says, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. He won't leave you, right? John 14:26, I will send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to help you. That all-surpassing power that resides in each of us. Okay? Don't think, oh, not me. No, you too. Okay? Every single one of you. The Holy Spirit is in each of us today and in this place today. And there's always a plan in the pain, right? There's always God's plan. I learned that through prison. God always has a plan in the pain. And it includes this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. All people, God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So in everything we go through and everything we do, that's part of God's plan. He wants people to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. Always. Our job is to believe and obey. It's really that simple. The Holy Spirit in us doesn't run away when the first sign of trouble, a bomb, a coup, stoning, fire, opposition, COVID, harsh words, fear, prison. But he leads us and he empowers us. Okay? But let me add one more thing just to confirm this. We're going to have trouble. You know that, right? In this life, we're going to have trouble. It's a fact. Jesus said it, right? John 16:33, he says, in this world you will have trouble, okay? Probably lots of trouble. But he says, but take heart. What? I have overcome the world. He's overcome it. Yeah, we should rejoice. Not just amen. Yeah, yes, Jesus, you've overcome. Any trouble you go through, and sometimes trouble lasts a long time. I know, 2 years in prison is a long time. But God overcomes. Let me read what Paul said in Philippians 3, 14 and 15. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes, they tried to stone him, but he says, I forget what's behind me, I look ahead. Okay? We too are to get up when we're knocked down. We're not to look back and say, woe is me. We're to say, thank you, Jesus, for this all-surpassing power that allows me to get back up again. What if Paul decided, after a little opposition and stoning, not to go back? What if he decided, yeah, that's it, I'm done? What if our friend So said, you know, after he was almost killed by a bomb, he says, that's enough for me. What if he gave up and said, that's it? What if our friend Ho said, the risk's too great delivering this aid to people, I could be killed. What if he just gave up? What if we packed it in after those 2 years in prison and never went to Myanmar? What if? What about you? Okay. I'm going to say it again. If you know Jesus, you have this treasure in jars of clay that Paul talked about. Okay. You have it. Say it with me. I have that all-surpassing power. I have that all-surpassing power in this jar of clay. And as believers, I know, and we're coming to the end, you may be hard-pressed on every side, but what? You are not crushed. You may be perplexed, but you are not in despair. You may be persecuted, but you are not abandoned. You may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. Those are the facts. I haven't told you about lots of things that are going on and happening. I haven't told you about the red house God gave us in Thailand to set up a ministry base there. We're going, as I said, we're going back in January. God just gave us this incredible house to use to set up this ministry base. I haven't told you about the couple joining us from Saskatoon who are going to plant themselves on the border. They already spent a couple of years in China. They understand the difficulties living on borders. I haven't told you about God holding back the rain during rainy season our entire trip. We were over there the last 2 months. It didn't rain any time we needed to be outside. It did not rain once. At night it rained. In the daytime it did not. I haven't told you about God amazingly providing a vehicle for us to drive all around Thailand while we were there. Okay. It was on the other side of the road. I got over that. But you know, I mostly stayed on the right side, or was it the left side? One of the sides I stayed on, mostly. I haven't told you about God providing a way to set up a foundation for us in Thailand so we can be there legally. I haven't told you about installing new water systems that we're still doing in Myanmar, despite the coup. I haven't told you about doubling the capacity of our ability to provide soy milk to Burmese migrant children's homes and other places. I haven't told you, I think you get the point, right? God is doing much more than we can imagine. Exceedingly more than we can imagine. And I can't tell you all about it right now. I'm going to let Rich come back in just a moment. But I want you to pray with me. You've seen slides of food being delivered. You've seen slides of oxygen tanks. You've seen verses that speak the truth. Today I want you to pray with me. Okay? If you can stand, why don't you stand with me? And the prayer is going to come up on the slide. Read it, pray it with me. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit, for your all-surpassing power that you placed inside of me. I choose again to step aside to say, not my will, but yours be done. To let you move in power, even in the midst of suffering, confusion, and trouble. I will let you, Father, unfold your plan in and through me, no matter what the cost might be. Amen. You can be seated. You know, God wants to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine. We're going back to do more. You know, we don't have to. We can stay in Canada. But God's called us to go back, to do things like emergency food aid, to do things like set up this red house that'll be a ministry center all along for all the work along the border, to keep delivering soy milk, to keep delivering aid, to keep setting up projects where people can become self-sustainable. But through it all and in it all, it's about Jesus. If we give a bag of rice, it's about Jesus. Okay? If we give a soil of light, it's about Jesus. Thank you.
Well, I hope you feel refreshed and strengthened. That's good stuff, eh? Good reminders. And the phrase that came to mind as we were listening to that was simply the out of the Gospels, actually, but increase our faith. Isn't that what we want? Do we want God to increase our faith? Because sometimes we don't have the faith, and we want God to constantly be working and strengthening and increasing our faith so that God can bless and use our lives for the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. Praise his name. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we're doing in selling our house, we felt with the Lord that we're to really simplify our lives. And in doing so, we're moving out of a home. Hopefully, we have an accepted offer, so we're hoping by next Friday the subjects will come off. And then by the 25th Saturday, we're hoping to have a unique garage sale where we're going to take the majority of our stuff, we're going to put it out in the driveway, and we're going to ask people to take whatever they want. We want to be generous, but we also want to do it by donation for Myanmar and Burma and the work of Nation to Nation. And I've kind of been sitting on these different projects. My wife says she's going to, how did she word this? She wants to give to this coffee thing. But I was really thinking about that one, the children and the medical and medicine, like the medical supplies. So we're going to give all that stuff and donation towards that. And what I'd like to do is challenge us as a church family, and the board of directors have put their stamp on this whole thing, is that if you would like to give to this project for Myanmar and for Nation to Nation and what they're doing, then today you can give in the offering box in the back foyer. You can give cash, checks. You can use the debit machine and make sure you do your tithe thing as a project. And then if you don't have the funds here today and you want to go home and e-transfer, you can do that through the church e-transfer, and we'll provide all the funds. We'll go over to Nation to Nation, and we'll make sure that we have an actual little bit of investment ourselves in what they're doing, because we've been doing that and praying, as he said. But would you take that challenge today, and can we impact through our giving and, you know, through coming and getting some of our amazing stuff? You know, some of you may not have a lot of cash. I'm not going to look what's going in the donation box. That's between you and God. So we want to bless you, and we want God to be blessed in his work. And who knows? Hopefully the new owners won't see us walking away and the house will blow up behind us. Wouldn't that be bad? Would you stand one more time? We're going to sing one more song of God's, you know, isn't God been faithful and done great things in our lives? Isn't God doing great things around the world? Isn't God doing great things in this city? And isn't God going to do great things in your life and in the city and in our world? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Amen. Well, let's sing that, and the Lord bless you.